guys, we're back. Today with me, I have Megan Harrison. She is an expert in online course strategy and development. Hey, Megan.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, especially since we've been talking about online courses a lot lately. And you know what? The audience is not bored. I keep having people always ask me about online course stuff. And it's funny, too, because one of my businesses is SEO, too.
Awesome.
And that was such a hard sale always, you know, because everyone's like, yeah, you know, I get calls from SEO people all the time. But at any networking event, if I ever say, like, you know what, we do online course marketing, like, people just perk up, like, hey, hold on a second here. Like, either they want to have a course or they have a course that's not selling.
Yeah, it's like the golden child right now.
It's weird. But what made you get into online courses? Because you do creation and strategy. And we talked a little bit before the call. The marketing had just too many unknown variables. That's why Megan's not really messing with that.
Yeah, I like to, just like I had said, stay in a lane and really expand my expertise in that specific niche. And so we don't niche in industry-wise, but in the services that we offer. So how I got into the online course design development was really when I started my business. That's how I learned how to start a business. So I went from the corporate world and hospital administration, which is something completely different. And I had no idea how to even start with the whole entrepreneurial side of things. And so I came across like people like Marie Forleo and Pat Flynn and Amy Porterfield. And I really was able to start a business from the ground up by learning from people that have already done what I wanted to do. And so after going through that, I kind of looked at the business model and I'm like, wow, I just gave Marie Forleo $2,000. And there's like thousands of other people that just gave her $2,000. That seems like a really good business model. And yeah, it just was. So my business slowly, or actually pretty quickly, morphed from just general website design and marketing automation into specifically online course design development and campaign implementation for your course launches as well.
You said on your website that you mostly use Infusionsoft. I just want to get that out of the way. How come? Because there are so many different options for that part of the development.
Again, yeah, just really like stating your ground and where you're going to be an expert at. And there are a lot of different platforms out there, but they each have their own nuances and variations. And so in order from a scalability standpoint, I only want to use one platform so that my team, like we have our system down to a science, and it just makes everything so much smoother from our end and then also the client's end. And honestly, I think Infusionsoft does offer the most capabilities. So it is extremely robust, but with that like level of robustness comes a level of complexity as well. But I wouldn't give that up for a less capability.
Yeah, if we had a client that came maybe 2 years ago, it was the first client with Infusionsoft. And when I seen the sales funnel, like I thought it was a maze.
Yeah. It does kind of look like a maze.
It did. It made sense and it worked. But just the first glance of it, I was like, wow, what are you using?
Yeah, it's kind of like when you look at code for the first time, it looks like a completely different language because it is. But once you learn that language, now all of a sudden you look at HTML and CSS or JavaScript, you're like, oh, that makes sense. I know exactly what that means. And you don't have to think about it.
It was just very daunting because, you know, a lot of people go through like ClickFunnels, you know, which is very dumbed down. And it works, you know, it's not as clunky as it used to be, but it's, you know, it's not as complex as Infusionsoft.
Right, definitely.
What other software and apps do you use for your clients when it comes to strategy and development?
So for the actual membership site platform, we use Infusionsoft, Membarium, which is the membership plugin, and then LearnDash LMS. And so that's all, this course is actually built on WordPress. And we use those three things as the main software suite for all our clients.
You also mentioned before the call that you usually help people upgrade courses. You don't really take beginners. Why is that?
Right. Mm-hmm. So for my particular target market are clients who have already seen some success with their program. So they might have bootstrapped it to begin with, kind of got a minimal viable product out there, and now they are ready to take it to the next level. So they're bringing in revenue, and now they're ready to either like upgrade the design so it really stands out and cuts the noise, because the competition is pretty steep now with online courses. So I think design plays a huge role in positioning yourself as a leader, and as well as other capabilities, some more advanced functionality like gamification or certification programs or corporate licensing. So now you can sell your program to actual businesses and have them license it out to their employees. So that's my market for our agency side of things. But then, of course, I follow my own advice and have my own online courses and programs. And that's where we serve more of the DIY market, or people starting out, and can teach them how to do this on their own. So they can get their course up and running and then eventually maybe move on to ready to upgrade it to the next level and then could become a client of ours.
You know, so many people make online courses now. And even just when you think of Udemy, right? Like, which I think is garbage, but there are you know, hundreds of thousands of courses on that thing. What would you, in your opinion, say, what makes it the biggest difference between a successful course and one you can actually charge money for than, you know, something that just comes out and doesn't go anywhere?
Yeah, there's a lot of different pieces that go into it, but I think the biggest differentiator is when you think of your course not just as a means to teach information that people consume passively, but turning it more into an implementation program. So your goal isn't just to like have people consume more knowledge, it's to get them to actually take action and implement what it is you're teaching so that they achieve those results. And if you're able to produce a track record for producing results within your program, things just seem to naturally come together a lot easier. Like the word of mouth picks up, your customer lifetime value drastically increases because everyone that purchased from you that was able to achieve that result that you're promising now wants to buy anything and everything that you're going to offer next because you've built that trust with them. So that's the biggest difference that I say between a course or a webinar. I mean, so a webinar or a book or just a standard information product is that you're really looking at this as a transformational program. And then there's a lot of other things that go into it. Like we mentioned before, I mean, everyone has to start thinking of themselves as an influencer and building their own personal brand. And that plays a huge role in the ability of, for what you're going to be able to charge.
You mentioned a lot of things such as webinars, books. Can you walk us through a typical sales funnel that you help build out, just so people have an idea of what that should look like?
Yeah, so the two most common sales funnels for a course for the actual launch strategy would be a webinar or a, I call it a Jeff Walker style launch. So your free four-part free video series. And there's a lot of other ways about going about doing this, but those would be the most common. And really you're just, I use the analogy of, it's like when you go into an ice cream store and you see all these different flavors of ice cream and you have no idea which one to pick. Your course is like one of those flavors of ice cream. And so in order for someone to make a decision, what they do is they go and they start testing some of them out, like having little samples of it. And there's different things that you look at that attracts people to try out that flavor. Like one is going to be the color and the vibrancy of it, the way it looks. That would equate to your design of your launch and your program and your branding. And then obviously the taste, that's going to be the content and the core. That's going to be the biggest driver between making the sale and not making the sales, if you know what you're talking about and you're delivering value. And then there's other aspects that go into it as well. But that's what I think of as a launch, is you're really putting your best foot forward and providing value up front. So therefore, people are more than happy to give you whatever price you're asking for the full version.
What are some mistakes that people make in the creation and the launch of courses?
Well, I think the number one mistake is not validating the idea prior to creating the course. So making sure that there's a market for it would be number one. The biggest mistake when it comes to actually creating the content would be not going at it from an action-focused like standpoint. So again, you're like you're more creating an encyclopedia of information versus an implementation program. That would be the biggest mistake that I found, and not including resources that help your customers take action, like worksheets or step-by-step guides or templates or swipe files. Those are going to be your biggest drivers to get people to actually implement what it is that you're teaching. And then a launch strategy, I think underestimating, I mean, there's a lot of mistakes that could be made, so it's hard to pick, but I would say not underestimating the importance and the amount of copy that's involved in your launch. It's immense.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. I'm actually working on
a never-ending list of writing stuff.
Yeah, I'm actually working on a couple landing pages myself, and it's always way more than I assumed it was going to be.
Yeah, because the landing page, that's one piece of it. Then you have the thank you page, and you have the post to promote it on all the different social media platforms. Then you have the email funnel that goes in after they opt in for it, and then the sales funnel, and then the sales page, and then your video scripts. It's like a never-ending process of writing copy.
It is. The one thing which I added too, which, you know, is a lot more work too, is a quiz, right? So moving people from the landing page to before they actually book a call for one of the services, I want to figure out if they're the right person, right? So now it's like, okay, now I got to write out the quiz too. You know, it's just
and adding. Then the results, the results for the quiz.
Yes.
And the different emails for all the different segments of the quiz answers. Yeah, it's
fun.
Magnified it times four.
But every time you say copy, and it's funny too, I just had some new clients come on, and one, it's a group, two ladies, they said, like, yeah, we're great at writing copy. And then, as you know, they wanted my advice on the landing page, and I'm like, okay, we need to completely redo this. Doesn't make any sense right now. And now they're stuck writing copy, like, for the last week or so. Because we also were doing a mini webinar, like mini masterclass, I don't know, to actually get people into the course. And that needs to get scripted out too. Like you said, the scripts, you know, it's a lot of fun. And the remarketing, you know, they didn't even know about remarketing. I was like, well, we need to have a whole sequence for that too. That's so fun. So much fun.
And then you have to think about the launch strategy for, like, not everyone's going to buy this time, like this first time. So when do you put them back into the funnel, and do you change the copy all over again for that next sequence? Like, say in 3 months again, you're going to promote it heavily to that segment of people. That's like a whole other set of copy.
Yeah, we had some copywriters on this show. I actually enjoy listening to them. You know, it's
I know, it's fascinating, because I just think they're like gods, because they're so good at something that I'm not so good at all.
But it's, you know, the best thing, and I actually feel so good that I, you know, when after speaking to them, is finding out that, you know, they're just like me and you. They sit down and they also don't want to do it half the time. they just, you know, they get to work because they're pros, but they, you know, they have the same moment, you know, before when they're looking at that Google Doc, they're like, oh, I wish I could just do anything else right now.
Yeah, everyone struggles at the same thing. And I think it's a good point too. It's like, we always underestimate our strengths because it comes so naturally to us. So some people can just sit down and just bang out some copy and it's like amazing, where I like have to bang my head against the table thinking about how to write this. But building an Infusionsoft campaign is like a piece of cake, or outlining a course takes me like 10 minutes. So we all have our pros and cons.
What makes a good outline for a course? Because, you know, that's something that in the other business, which, you know, I talked to you a little bit before the show, where we, you know, tried our hand at creation, you know, of online courses. That was a big piece, which we were asked about all the time, you know, help us create a good outline.
Mm-hmm. So what creates a good outline? Well, a solid outline, but then having a structure to follow. I mean, it's very similar to a book. It's just more focused on action. So you're going to start out with your set, like a book has sections within the book, and then it has chapters within that section. So your modules are like the sections of a book, and then you have your individual lessons, which are like the chapters within that lesson. So your modules are, I consider them to be your main milestones or action steps that are needed in order to get your customer to reach that result. So you start off with where your customer is now, and then you look at the end goal, where do they want to be? And then what are those milestones in between that they need to be able to achieve in order to get to that end result? And then once you have those core modules outlined, then you can look at, okay, well, what information do they need to know in order to take those actions? So if we were teaching, if there was a course on how to create an amazing Facebook ad funnel, it's like, what are those core action steps that are needed? Well, one of them would be to, we're talking about copy. So like, write the copy and actually create the actual camp or ad within Facebook. And then that could be a lesson. So creating the actual ad, or that could be a module. And then the lessons could then be how to write a good headline, how to design an image in Canva, how to write a click-worthy description. And those could each be the lessons within that module. So the main goal, or the action step they need to achieve, is actually creating the ad. And then these are the steps that they need to take and the information they need to know in order to be able to achieve that outcome, if that makes sense.
It does. Let me rephrase it a little bit too. A lot of authors try to make online courses. And you mentioned, you know, modules are like chapters and all this. But the online course, I don't think it shouldn't be exactly like the book, right? So that's when I think things get a little complicated. Is because, you know, you have a book, and then when you turn it into a course, like the first instinct is, oh, let's just use the same thing that was in the book and put it in an online course. But I don't think that's the point. I don't think that's going to sell that well.
Right. So you need to shift
your focus.
So how
would you tackle that? Yeah.
Yeah. So the outline can very much stay the same. And I've had a ton of authors, because it's just the next logical step. Like if you have a book, then you 1000% should have an online course. Because there's a certain percentage of your audience that are want to learn from you on a deeper level. And so now it's taking that core outline and your methodology and what you're teaching and switching the mindset from just teaching concepts that people are going to consume passively to turning it into an implementation program. So I wish I could think of an example off the top of my head, but instead of just like one of the books that I'm reading again for like the third time would Psycho Cybernetics. And he has a course that goes along with it, the Psycho Cybernetics course, which is essentially the same concepts, but it's much more action focused. And so it's including like step-by-step actions or checklists or things that you actually need to do in order to implement what it is that the concepts that he's teaching within that program. And so you can still pretty much keep a similar outline, but the way that you're structuring it is always going to be with the intention of, okay, what is it that I need my customers to actually do in order to take that next step and get to that next action item versus like just teaching information.
That makes sense. I didn't know they have a course for that. You know, I just put Psycho Cybernetics on my phone again. I think it's my like second or third or fourth time now listening to it. Mm-hmm. So it's the same. Yeah, it's the same as you. That's a great book. And I'm putting that in the resources for people just because that's one book you need to definitely grab. But yeah, I didn't know they have a course for that.
Yeah, I haven't taken it. He's mentioned it multiple times. I listened to it on Audible. Just I don't have time to like actually like sit down and read. So while I'm taking a shower, I read like at least a book a week, or I say read, I listen to at least a book a week, because if I'm doing anything that doesn't take like mind power, like cleaning or like putting on my makeup or taking a shower or walking to the office, I'm always listening to Audible. So it is a great book.
Yeah, the thing about audiobooks, and I don't know if you have this problem too, but I tend to zone out a lot. And I have to re-listen to the same chapter sometimes 4 or 5 times just to get what they're talking about. Because, you know, people lose me very quickly, especially if it's just, you know, something's playing in the background. Like, even if I'm at the gym, like, I will start listening, and then I'm like 4 or 5 sets in, and I completely forgot I'm even listening to a book.
Yeah, no, I couldn't do it when I'm at the gym. It has to be something where I'm, like, really not using any brain power at all. At the gym, I would lose track. But or it helps even more if I'm doing something that I don't want to do that takes no brain power, like cleaning or putting away laundry, or, I mean, like getting ready in the morning. I wish I had that superpower that I could just snap my fingers and my hair would be done and I have the perfect outfit. My makeup would all be done. That would be amazing. But unfortunately, I do not have that yet. So I can stay on track pretty much when I'm doing things like that.
Yeah, I only found that driving in a car, that's the only time I can actually...
Yeah, that's a great time.
Actually listen to it. Because all the other stuff you mentioned, like, you know, I have no need for makeup, the cleaning and the cooking roll and stuff, that's all getting done by other people. Like, I never touch any of it. So
yeah.
The times I have is either I'm just relaxing and it's one time when I don't want to listen to a book, or I'm doing something, which I can't, yeah. But I just, you know, mention it because so many people now are talking about, like, yeah, I'm listening to audiobooks. I'm like, man, like, I don't get it. Like, it takes me so long.
Yeah, well, the car is a great way. And a lot of people, so I live downtown Chicago, so my office is like a 10-minute walk. I don't get in a car anymore. But I used to, when I was in corporate, have basically an hour commute there and back. And that's how I basically started my business, was during 6 months of just listening to podcasts and audiobooks and Tony Robbins, going to work and coming back, and really utilizing that time. So most people do have those commutes, and so it's probably why the audio books work out really well for them.
Yeah, I think so. Now, you mentioned that you're not really into the marketing aspect. So how do you market your business? Because you have an online course as well, and you're looking for clients. So I'm just curious, like, how do you tackle that since you're not really, you know, in that field?
Yeah, I mean, I actually understand and am very, very good at the marketing side of things. It just wasn't, like I mentioned, there's so many different aspects that go into a successful launch and marketing. And it was really hard for me to be able to control that from a client standpoint. Like my own, I have complete control over it. But it's like your visual presence, like your branding is on point. It's whether or not you can build rapport on video. It's building your own personal network. Again, the copywriting is another piece of it. Your ad strategy. There's all these pieces that with one of them missing, it's going to have a negative impact on you. So that's why I don't really do it for clients. But for myself, I employ and implement everything that I'm preaching here. And the biggest thing is, I think, coming up with a consistent marketing strategy. So consistent content marketing strategy. Sorry, I forgot that word. And my favorite way of doing that right now is like a Facebook Live show. And then now I've gotten into trying to build my Instagram as well, which is like a whole nother beast of itself. And just being consistent with showing up. And if you look at any of the really big players in the industry, it came from consistency. Like Amy Porterfield, Pat Flynn, they showed up every week for years on the same day, at the same time, creating that content. And that just builds that know, like, and trust. Because the first step to likability is familiarity. And so really just being in people's face is super important. In a good way, though, with good, high-value content.
Yeah, it's quite challenging, right, to come up with quality content day in and day out for
it's
so long.
It's a lot of work. It is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And then the other biggest thing is partnerships. So it's strategic partnerships. And I love like my, the platforms that I use, that's why I use them. And so companies like LearnDash and Mambarium and Infusionsoft and Plus This, I've developed strategic partnerships with them, and we help cross promote when at different times. So if I'm going to be using a software, there's a reason why, and then I have no problem with helping to like promote them because I believe in what it is that they're doing.
That's awesome. I think a lot of people are missing that part too. It's the partnerships.
It's a huge part. It's a huge part. That will accelerate your growth faster than anything. Not just partnerships like that, but I mean just business relationships, like meeting the right person at the right time can have more of an impact on your business than months or years or the best copy or the best marketing funnel. If you meet like, oh, you know what? I'm head of this association that has 100,000 members that are your exact target market. Would you like to speak at our next event? That's going to do wonders for you.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I've thought about this too, because I have people asking me sometimes, can I make money without dealing with other people? You know, because they want to just close themselves off, go in the bat cave, and just, you know, do whatever it is they're doing and just reappear once every couple months and hopefully make a lot of money. And, you know, I think it's sort of possible, but it's going to take a lot more work.
Right. I mean, it's going to be very hard without... And maybe if you build that up first and then you find a way to like streamline and automate it and you build your team to help carry on that brand that you've developed. But yeah, I mean, the way that you'd have to do that would be more of a product type of business, like physical product, I would think. Because even SaaS products, like there's a lot of personal branding and content marketing and things that go behind that. So it would be very difficult. I mean, you're putting yourself in an uphill battle. It's not impossible, obviously. Or you could put someone else at the forefront of it. I've seen that as well, as where you're more of like the mastermind behind the scenes, like the Wizard of Oz, but then you have an influencer.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the digital architect, Ebel.
Yeah, the one example I always show for that is Ezra Firestone. He put that lady, I don't know if she was like a B actress or a C or a D actress, but he just put her up there as the face of Boom, that cosmetics line. And even though, you know, he's promoting himself too, but just when you think about, you know, that business itself, like it runs with her face. And, you know, and me being me, like obviously I was like, huh, who is that? So I tried, you know, going down the rabbit hole, and the rabbit hole was very, it wasn't deep at all. Like, no, there's no news about this girl, you know? So I'm like, oh, that means you can pretty much put anyone up there. And if you show her enough, like I thought she was an actress, like an older actress, you know, just the way he presented her, which worked for him. But, you know, I don't know, maybe she played in like one amateur movie or something, but you know, she wasn't anyone like that.
Wonder type of thing.
Yeah, like maybe not even that. Maybe she's like a supporting character for a one-time wonder, you know. But still, you know, like he was able to build that line, and now anytime I see her, I'm like, oh, that's Ezra's thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if he wanted to, he could hide behind her the whole time, even though he doesn't, but he could, and still run that business pretty well.
Yeah, so that would be definitely an option. Is so you have a partner or like an influencer partner that is the face of it, and that happens all the time. But I mean, you're still gonna have to be doing the work behind it with like creating the content and the strategy. So yeah, you don't have to have the personal brand. You can find other ways around that. Or the example that was brought up recently in one of my like masterminds was creating an actual like anime, like a character as the front of your business. And an example of that would be MailChimp, and how they scaled a lot faster than many of the other email marketing services because they had a character and they had that monkey as like the forefront of their brand. That was the face of their brand is the monkey, and they built this culture and this brand around this monkey. So
that's true.
Yeah, it's important, but there's not always like one right answer, one path to success.
No, definitely not. But it's definitely going to take consistency and hard work. You know, that's the one thing you just cannot avoid. You know, it is work, even though if it looks easy, you know, like other people are like, oh, all you're doing is like podcasts and these things. And, you know, but it's, you know, it's still work. Like, you know, I'm up at like 8 or 9 p.m. recording these. It's not, you know, this is not all fun. I mean, I enjoy them, but, you know, it's still like I could be doing other things right now. I could be at the movies, you know, I could be at the pool. Like, you know, it's yeah, always work.
Yeah, it's definitely not passive income. So when people say, I'm like, oh, I want to create passive income, I'm like, okay, well, good luck with that. But it's more scalable, but there's a lot of work that goes in to be able to create that so-called quote-unquote passive income. You might not be showing up at like the office every day, but you're still doing the work behind the scenes.
Still gotta do the work. Okay, Megan, where can people find you?
The best place would be my website, so megankharrison.com, or any of my social media is the same at Megan K. Harrison, and we can connect there.
Awesome. Thank you again for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.